is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, Ways of the Serpent. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Cody Johnson with In the Garden, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy
and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
I stay in the garden with him, though the night be falling around. but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Well, today we're going to begin a very important series. And I want to tell you, first of all, that I have never, ever done radio program more important than this series. We're going to be discussing ways of the serpent. Ways of the serpent. And I want to subtitle this series this way. I call it, I describe it as the theory and practice of hell and Illuminism. The theory and practice of hell and Illuminism. And of course, that gives it an academic meaning and perspective, does it not? Because in the academic world, they love to use the word theory. But in fact, this is the science and practice of hell and Illuminism. It is a tale, a story, a fact, a scientific fact, involving the implanting of the double mind. Now, you know, God has taken you and he's taken me, and I am convinced every true patriot Christian I have ever met, I discover when within 5 or 10 minutes of talking to a person, asking them a little bit about themselves, I find out a mountain of knowledgeable, useful information. For one thing, I often find in my first 5 or 10 minutes of discussion with an individual, whether or not they're a true Christian. But more than that, I find that God has chosen each person, man or woman, for his kingdom because of a special gift or talent that they have. Now you may say, boy, Tex, I've met a lot of people and I don't know if they have any talent or gifts at all. Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong. Every person chosen by God, selected by God, justified through faith by God and his son Jesus Christ, every person has a special individual talent and gift, and no one else in the universe can do it but them. Now, the key to success in life is for you to know what your gift is. Now, I'm not really going to talk about gifts today or talents. That is a very valuable topic. And I just want you to understand that every person has this gift or talent. Now, I have one too. There's a lot of things I can't do. I've admitted that. I'm totally incompetent. I'm totally inept at many things, believe me. And probably if you met me for 5 or 10 minutes, you'd probably see that. You'd say, well, doesn't look like Texas is going to ever qualify to be a soccer player at the World Cup. Doesn't look like Tex is going to play a championship game of tennis. Doesn't look like Tex, you know, put me on the piano and say, I don't think he's ever going to be a musician. Okay. If you listen to my voice singing, you'll say, well, boy, it's good that he has a good radio voice. Or at least many people say that I do. Because he sure cannot sing. So, well, God knows all those things and many more about me. So he's decided he will give me other talents that I can use for his kingdom. And that's the purpose. The purpose isn't so it's going to uplift you or me. The purpose of giving a gift or talent, that's God giving that, is so you can use it for his kingdom. He's the only one that matters. If you ever get that in your head, my friends, it will change your life. God is the only one that ever matters. You don't matter at all. I don't matter at all. Now, thanks to his goodness and his mercy and his love, we can live a happy, prosperous, perfectly joyous life, which you cannot live if you don't have God. You're sunk. But nevertheless, when it comes down to the essence of life, the mystery of life, as they call it, the elixir of life, if you want to take a sip of it, it's simply this. You're here to serve God. That's all. That's the end of your life. And in Hebrews, it says, it is appointed for a man once to die, not a thousand times as in reincarnation, but once afterward the judgment. That pretty well sums up your life story. But in that life story, there is a talent or a gift. Now, one thing that God has done for me, as he's done for many people, is he trains you and mentors you and brings you up. I mean, you're like a child. He admonishes you sometime, spanks you, keeps you in line. And if he does not chasten you, then you're not his child. I mean, you don't go to your next door neighbors, take out a belt and start spanking them, do you? You're going to go to prison. You can be arrested for that. But if you're a child of God, he has the right and he will chasten you. And thank God that he does. You're going down the wrong path, young man, young lady. Now you're my child, and I'm not going to allow that. And I'm the only thing that matters. I'm God. You say, well, wait just a minute, God, how about me? I'm better. I'm a worthwhile individual. I'm a valuable person. Shut up. You're a worm. But God can make something out of you anyway. He's made a lot of worms into beautiful creatures. He's a creator. He's a gift. One of my most favorite gospel songs is by a woman named Dottie Rambo. She's passed away now, but it was called The Painting. Oh, she was ugly, she said. And she had eyes stained with tears because she had misery in her life. But then God took out his brush and his paints, and he painted a new picture, an image of Miss Rambo, the painting. And it was beautiful and lovely. Well, that's what God does with people's lives. We make messes of them. He throws the mess out and makes a whole new image and picture of you and me. Now, I tell you that because God has made me in a certain way. One of the things God has done is brought me through all kinds of things. I have degrees and knowledge that no one else has. And I'm going to use that today because I'm going to talk to you about the ways of the serpent, the theory or the science and practice of hell and Illuminism, the implanting of the double mind. And if you will listen very carefully, and if you will get pencil and paper or pen and paper and take notes, I promise you, you will learn something so valuable, so amazing, that it will stay with you for the rest of your life. I'm going to tell you how every satanic system works. I'm going to give you the very doctrine of hell. Now, there is a doctrine of godliness, too. It's a mystery to most people. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will know the doctrine of my Father. Wow. People say, oh, don't worry about doctrine. People argue over doctrine all day long. I don't fight over doctrine. Well, you don't know anything then. You're not even a Christian. Because Jesus said, if you know me as Lord, you will know the doctrine of him who sent me. There is a doctrine of Christ.
Now, I want to assure you, I want to start with that doctrine, that basis, which is this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the doctrine. Now, there's other elements of it, but in essence, that's it. No other foundation can a man lay than Jesus Christ. Do you have a cracked foundation and slab? It's useless. It's worthless. Have you built a house on sand, shifting sand? Watch out. It just drift right on out to sea when the next tide comes in, perhaps. You see, Jesus had standards. He had absolutes. He had doctrine. I'm going to talk to you about the satanic system in the world and politics and religion, in education, in culture, in entertainment, that is built on a system called double mind or double think. Even George Orwell talked about it. We'll mention Mr. Orwell in his book 1984 as we go along here. But what I want you to understand is that the code of hell is based on a doctrine of the double mind, the implanting of the double mind, and you and I cannot escape this implanting every day of our lives except through the protection and hedge that Jesus Christ will give you. Now, please understand, just as I told you, it says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed for a man once to die, afterward the judgment. That is an absolute. I know the Buddhists will say different. The Hindus will say different. The Masons will say different, but we have a biblical absolute. And this is what happens when you read of the life of Jesus. They came to him and said, is it right for a man to divorce? Well, Jesus said, it was not so from the beginning. It's not what God intended. When Jesus really let it be known who he was, in the Gospel of John, it says most of his disciples, except the 12, abandoned him. And it makes clear in the Gospel why they did, because they murmured, they complained among themselves, and they said, who can stomach this? This is a hard saying. These are hard things. Who can stomach them? Friends, let me tell you something. If you cannot stomach the doctrine of Christ, then get out. I was in the Air Force for over 20 years, and back during the days of the draft, many people were trying to avoid going in the Army. They didn't want to go in and fight in Vietnam, so they would join the Air Force. Their numbers came up, you know, in the lottery is high, and they knew they were about to be drafted in the Army. Rather than go in the Army, they'd go join the Air Force. But they weren't very happy campers. They were always complaining and moaning, I didn't really want to come in the Air Force. I just came in because I was avoiding the draft. I didn't want to go in the Army, fight and die. So they were crummy airmen, didn't do their job sometimes. Well, finally, the draft ended. The war in Vietnam was over and the draft ended. And the Air Force didn't need so many troops. It was cutting back from like 980,000 troops down to 700,000. Had a lot of people that were going to kick out. They didn't need so many. So we had an Air Force general then, four-star general, chief of staff of the Air Force. He came out with a policy. I liked it. And I gave the order to many of my men under my command, all the way in or all the way out. Well, that's what Jesus says. You're all the way in or you're all the way out. There's a verse in the Bible I've always loved of Jesus. It says, if thine eye be single, then thy whole body will be full of light. If thine eye be single, then thy whole body will be full of light. If you are single-minded and you refuse to bend, if you look upon something as an absolute and say, no, I don't see any black and white. I see only the white, only the light. I'm not going to mix in the gray. I'm not going to mix them together. The light cannot tolerate darkness, and darkness should not be part of the light. Jesus also said in Matthew 6, he said, if therefore the light is that is in thee, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The darkness cannot live in coexistence with the light. You're either evil or you're good. You know, one time a young man came to me and he began to tell me, well, there's good things in Hinduism, there's good things in Buddhism. I'm a Christian, but, you know, I have to recognize the good in these other religions. So can't we all sort of get along? I looked at the young man. There were several people around. I said, well, let's just say that I'm a Satanist. I'm a high priest of Satan. You know, young man, in 3 minutes' time, I can turn you into a Satanist. He said, no, you can't do that. I said, oh, yes. You want to see me do it? He said, well, okay. I said, now, thank God I'm not really a Satanist, because I'm going to turn you into a Satanist in 3 minutes using your arguments. And you know what? By the time that 3 minutes was up, the man was absolutely amazed. He had become a Satanist. Because I said, do you think there's anything at all good in Satan? Well, yeah, he used to be a good angel. Ah, so he was a good angel. Do you think that a lot of people could be rehabilitated, even murderers in prison? Well, yes. Ah, so Satan could be rehabilitated. And I just went on from there. I said, let's dialogue. Well, let's have a little dialogue here. I said, well, tell me this. You say that there are these Hindus and everything. You say they do good. How about Satanists? Did you know that there are Satanists who have given money to charities? No, I didn't know that. Oh, yes. Yes, they have. Do you think that's a good thing? Yes. Would you embrace that? Yes. Would you work with them in those charities? Yes. So you think, then you agree that Satans could be good humanitarian and charitable people? Yes, I do. See, so pretty soon he was going and going, and he's using the same arguments, and pretty soon I had him by my grasp. And I said, pretty soon, I was able to tell him there's no difference between God and Satan. And he was just totally confused. I had to straighten the man out. I'd take another 3 minutes to show him the scriptures. And I said, your error is in you don't know the doctrine of Christ.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.